Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Esther Yoon-ji Kang in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. And if you're looking for a new movie to see this weekend, you're in luck. The new A24 film, Past Lives, is the directorial debut of Korean-Canadian playwright Celine Song. The movie, starring actors Greta Lee, Teo Yu, and John Magaro, is a story about fate, relationships, life, and love. And with us now to talk about the film is the director herself, Celine Song. Celine, congratulations on your very first film. Movie critics have called it stunning, elegant, exquisite, destined to be one of the best movies of 2023. How does it feel to hear such accolades for your first try?
Well, I think that all I could really focus on is making the movie exactly what it needed to be. And then I think everything else I don't think is necessarily in my control. So it is just wonderful to hear that people are connecting with it. And people want to come see it. And I think to me, the best part is not having the expectations that it's going to be sort of like accepted and loved in that way. And then to realize that it does. And I think the joy of that, and that's something that I experienced at starting at Sundance, and I've been experiencing ever since. I'm just like, just so happy that it is going so well.
That's great. Well, how has your years of work as a playwright informed how you work as a director?
I think it was such a, in some ways, a direct translation of my work as a playwright, because so much of the work as a playwright is about, especially a film like this, is about performance, acting performance, and telling the story, and telling the story through through the characters are revealing themselves, and actors also their faces and the things that they say. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, to me, the transition was as smooth as it could be.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the film. You know, it's a story of childhood sweethearts, Nora and Haesung, or Nayoung and Haesung, who are separated when Nora moves to Canada. They live separate lives and meet up in New York as adults. But, you know, I feel like the film is so much more than even that synopsis. So how would you describe it in your own words?
I would say that the movie is about what it actually feels like to go through life and go through many decades, and also to live in different continents. To me, that was at the heart of my work around it as well, is to just sort of like describe in the best way that I can what it's like to be alive and to live and to form relationships that are both big and small, both like, you know, epic and mundane.
Mm. Can you talk a little bit about the word 인연, which is referenced a lot in the film? You know, it's a Korean word. It's not quite fate. It's not quite bond or relationship. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, so the word 인연 is something that I think exists very much in a lot of Eastern cultures generally, and Eastern philosophy. And in Korea, it's a pretty common word. People just use it on the regular. And it's sort of like, and it's a little different than the sort of Western conception of fate, because it's not something that you go and try to get. Mm. So often destiny is talked about in the West as something that you go and try to attain or get or like try to win. But in a lot of Eastern philosophies, destiny or fate is about accepting something that comes to you. And fate is something that comes to you, whether you like it or not. Mm. So to me, that's sort of where the concept of 인연 comes from. The 인연 is about the connections that sort of just come to you. And I would say that there are people who, you know, when you need a glass of water, somebody brings you a glass of water, even that person is 인연.
Mm.
But also, your parent is an 인연 too. And I would say that, of course, your 인연 with your parents is much deeper than the relationship that you have with somebody who just brings you a cup of water and never see again. But it still is 인연. Both of them are both 인연. The depth might be different, but it still is. And I think the concept of 인연 is about just that ineffable feeling of knowing someone, or having known someone even before the moment that what we might, you know, label a connection or something like that. So it is about the ineffable feeling that we have when we encounter another person. And I want, through this film, the people who have seen the film, my dream is for them to incorporate the word Inyeon into their lives. Mm. Because I just know that feeling connected to even the most mundane connection in your life can be so meaningful. You know, like, I feel like, you know, like you and I are sort of sitting here having this conversation, and I hope it's a start of many other conversations that we have. Yeah. But I know even this is Inyeon, and it might be not so grandiose mm-hmm. or really big or something that we're trying to attain, mm-hmm. but like we're encountering each other in this way and we're trying to get to know each other. And to me, I'm like, that can be meaningful and that can be deep and that can be a part of the way that we relate to each other. And I think that should then shape the way we treat each other, shape the way that we connect with each other, because we know that even this is meaningful.
I love that. That gave me goosebumps, Celine. You know, this movie is inspired by Inyeon in your own life. A real-life moment at a bar a few years ago when you and your husband and your childhood sweetheart met up and shared a conversation. How much other than that moment is biographical?
Well, to me, I think about it often as like an adaptation of some events of my life or really inspired by. Mm. Because to me, the thing that I was most interested in making the film is the story and the characters of the film. And to me, the thing that I want more than anything is for it to be sort of encountered as like something that's specifically about these characters and the things that they go through. Mm. So I think that part of it is like, but does this movie actually reflect the way that I like live through the world or the way that I connect to my universe? I think the answer is yes. Mm. I think the authenticity of human experience was sort of the guiding principle for making the film. I was the thing that I'm asking the most often is, does this feel real to me? Mm-hmm. Does this feel honest? Is this actually how it was? Is this actually how it is for me to live in this body, in this time, in this world, through time, in this way?
Speaking of characters, is the character of Arthur, Nora's white American husband, modeled after your own partner?
I feel like I don't think that I would use words like modeled after like that. I think it's so much more about finding the characters with the actors that I have cast and through the text of the film and through what we are connecting to for how it's going to connect to the story. So it was a very much discovery, and it's an individual discovery because, like, you know, for example, me and Jim Magaro, who plays Arthur, had a very specific and very special process to find Arthur, for example. And when it came to, of course, Greta Lee and I, you know, same thing. We had a really unique process for ourselves that was so intimate, where we were trying to discover Nora together. So, yeah.
You mentioned Greta Lee, the actress who plays the character Nora. Once you got those actors in place, the pandemic delayed film production until 2021. And the actual shoot took a little over a month in both New York and South Korea. It was really fun to see familiar actors who are in Korean films and dramas in your movie, like the dad character, for example. What was that movie-making process like, especially for a first-time filmmaker?
You know, I shot the New York part of the film for a month, and then I actually went to South Korea, and I prepped South Korea for a month, and then I shot in Korea for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And I think the process of it was so amazing, and I feel like the process itself told the story of the movie, where I was very much also translating between two film cultures on top of two languages and two otherwise just like, you know, just countries.
Yeah.
And I felt like the sort of translating between these film cultures, because we were basically, we had established a certain film culture between me and my department heads in New York City. Mm. And then we all brought our culture over to South Korea, and we were met with Korean filmmaking culture. Yeah. So to me, as somebody who is fluent in both cultures and both languages, I found myself sort of sitting in between those two filmmaking cultures as well.
It's just amazing all the things that you had to juggle. I mean, you're juggling two languages, you're juggling two different movie making industries. And on top of that, this is your first film. I heard that you shot this all on 35mm film. How did you get up to speed on filmmaking in general? Like, I watched an interview where Greta said this was your first time on a movie set. That's mind-boggling to me.
The main thing that I'm sort of running up against is, of course, the those feelings of uncertainty or insecurity or something like that, which is a natural part of doing something for the first time. But the other thing that I know is at the heart of what this process has been for me is that it was a self-discovery, or it was a revelation to myself about how I am meant to be doing it, or like how I felt very born to do it, or like I felt like this is exactly what I wanted to do, you know? So I think it's, some of it was a learning process for me about what I want to do, or what I realized that what I thought were my limits before, I could push through those limits, and I had so much more that I could do. So it sort of was like falling in love or something, you know, with it.
That's all great and beautiful, but like, do you Google how to make a movie? I mean, what did you do?
I did not Google, but I think it's more like part of the thing that I think was the hardest, but then once you could do it, it was the thing that saved me through all of it is knowing that I know it, right? It's like the belief that I know how this movie should be made. And some of it is you're faking it till you make it, right? Yeah. And some of it, you just actually know that it has to work like this, or it won't work. I mean, I sometimes talk about like what it feels like to me the job of director is being a professionally passionate person, where every day you're just showing up and making sure that you and every single person who's working on the film is passionately connected to the movie. And part of that is to be really clear about your vision, and then really clear about the unknowns, and then also being able to communicate all of that so that your crew is not just there to work, but they're also there to be a part of the creative process of making the film. And then you can sort of achieve things that I know that I couldn't have done by myself. So some of it is just like just knowing what I know, and then also knowing what I don't know. And then for everybody in the room to be really clear about that, so that the things that I don't know, people who want to make a great film with me can contribute.
You're listening to Reset. I'm Esther Yoon-ji Kang, in for Sasha Ann Simons. And we're talking with writer-director Celine Song about her debut film, Past Lives. I want to ask you about your intent as a filmmaker. I've talked to enough artists to know that they're not always out to make big statements about identity and race and social issues. But in this film, some themes still shine through, right? And so what would you say to those who might want to claim this as like, claim Past Lives as an Asian American film, or even to people like myself for whom like certain themes like immigration really resonated?
I think at the heart of it, the main thing that I would talk about all the time is how this is connected to the way that I exist in the world. So the thing about the word identity that I think is sometimes a little bit flattening of what we're talking about in a movie like this, or in any movie, is that it sort of becomes about a commodifying or itemizing or a person's experience into a word or into a certain kind of blanket statements about what that is. And I think part of it is that some of that is just true, but it is, I think, maybe not the full picture of what it is. That's why I think I prefer the language of like existence. And this movie, I know, is an existentialist piece of work, because I know it is about what it is like to live and breathe as myself. And in this story, it is really about the way that immigration, or like being displaced from your place of your childhood, or making choices to be to leave a place that you live. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something as dramatic as South Korea. It can even be something as little as like you're moving from Chicago to Seattle, you know?
Right.
So I think it can be something that everybody can connect to in that way. But I do think that because I live in this body and it is a movie that is about that, I think it is going to be all of those things and more. So, yeah.
You know, when we talk about immigration, there's a scene in the movie where Hesung, Nora's childhood sweetheart, says to her, "You used to cry a lot. Why don't you cry now?" And she says, "I used to cry a lot, but I realized no one cared." And, you know, for me, as someone who, like Nora and like yourself, immigrated twice, that exchange felt like a commentary on immigration. Maybe there's something like hardening or lonely about the process of leaving everything you know and starting over. What was behind that exchange?
I mean, you're the first person who talked to me about that piece of dialogue. And I always think it's like it speaks volumes about what Nora is going through in the film. And you're really the first person who talked about it, which is amazing. So I think the part of it is it's a bit of a toughening, like what you're saying, like becoming stronger in a way, too, because a part of it is that Nora is a sort of burning center of the film. Mm-hmm. And Nora is someone who has to hold center in all of it and has to sort of like know who she is and be who she is. And I think that that can be a heroic act on its own. And I think that's also, I think, what makes her so extraordinary. And I also think that's what makes these two men love her because I think they love her strength too.
Yeah, and she's such an ambitious person. And in the movie, Hesung also says to her, like, Korea would have been too small for her ambitions. Mm-hmm. And I personally think about that sometimes. Like, I feel like if my parents had stayed in South Korea, I don't have the drive, the ambition, the self-discipline to succeed in a country like that competitive. And so do you, as Celine Song, like ever wonder where you would be today if your parents had not moved your family?
Well, I think the part of the movie, this feels very connected to the questions that one might have about the movie. I think one might have about the film, because I think part of the living our lives is I think it is about looking back and thinking about the other possible lives that you have lived. But also being an adult means that you commit to and then you embrace and you accept the life that you do have. Mm-hmm. And then you see love and value in it. And then and if you don't, if you find that you're not happy where you are, then willingness to change that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like it is really like I'm so happy to be here in that way. And I think it's like the other part of it is that when Nora is walking home and crying, it's really so easy to feel like the reason why she is crying is because of all the what ifs and all the possibilities of another life. But I think that part of that is true, but I think the truth of it is that she is grieving the little girl that she never got to grieve until that moment. So part of that is accepting that you're no longer that little girl, right?
How could you give? That's a spoiler alert, Celine. I mean, that was the moment that, like, I was clenching my jaw the whole time trying to keep from crying. And when that happened, that's when everything was released. You know, we're talking a lot about Nora and Hesung, but we can't forget Arthur, right? The writer husband who is white, Jewish. One scene that really resonated was where Nora describes Hesung to Arthur, and she's like prattling on about how she doesn't feel Korean around him, but also more Korean. And Arthur is sitting there, he's listening, he's present, but he doesn't quite get it. And there's also another scene where Arthur talks about how there's a part of Nora where he can't go or understand fully. As a Korean Canadian woman, is there a part of you that is not fully seen by anybody, including, for example, your mom or your partner?
To me, I think that no person is fully knowable by another person. But I think that what makes all of it not lonely and so beautiful is that we are always going to make an effort to understand and know each other. So I think that having the expectation that every single person in your life should know every single part of you is an expectation that will be dashed.
Right.
So
right.
I think the thing that we can always ask of the people who love you and the way that you can love someone is to not only make an effort to know the other person, but to also accept when there are parts of them that you can never know. And to me, I'm like, that is what is so amazing about the mystery of life, which is that there are things that are mysterious to us about every single person. And that mystery is the thing that we can always have longing for. I think there's a tremendous amount of longing that Arthur feels towards Nora because, like he says, there's a part of her, there's a place inside of her that he cannot go. And I think that's also true of Haesung too. I think Haesung has a tremendous amount of longing for Nora too because, of course, Haesung speaks her childhood language and he knows her as a kid, but he doesn't know her as an adult. He doesn't know her as a spouse. He doesn't know her as this artist in New York. So right. he also has a tremendous amount of longing for her as well. And I think, and of course, Haesung and Arthur have longing for each other too.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're also trying to understand each other and see, and they also find in their conversation when it's just the two of them that they also understand and love each other as well just by being connected to each other through this woman that they both love very differently, but they both love.
You said earlier that making the movie Past Lives was a revelation and a discovery of yourself, and that filmmaking is kind of where you want to live. Does that mean no more plays? Like, what do you hope to do going forward?
I think no more plays. I think I just felt so much so in love with filmmaking that... and I worked as a playwright for a decade. And I think that like because I've fallen so hard for filmmaking that I feel like that's sort of the feeling I have now. I mean, who knows? Talk to me in a little bit.
Wow.
But I think that's right now I feel like I just can't wait to make movies.
Well, we can't wait to see more of your movies. Celine Song is a playwright and filmmaker. Her debut film, Past Lives, is out in Chicago this Friday, June 9th. Celine, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
This episode of Reset was produced by Micah Yasson. It was edited by Ethan Schwab. Did you enjoy this conversation? Be sure to give us a rating. We really appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe to never miss an episode. I'm Esther Yunji Kang. Have a great day.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.